Josiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Josiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 19th, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, all this information, as well as contact information at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube and on some FM stations, so please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like New Delhi, India, Kalumkin City, okay, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Paris, France, Vancouver, Canada, and of course cities in the good old USA such as New York, New York, Kansas City, Missouri, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Cleveland, Ohio, Dallas, Texas. And these are just to name a few. Of course, still, Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners to our programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Also, please share us on Twitter and follow us over there, of course, Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now, prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I really pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, folks, in the book of Isaiah, it talks about children oppressing their fathers and people and other people. Anyway, and women ruling over them. Do you think that could ever happen? Children oppress you and women ruling over them? Well, it says in Isaiah 3:12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee to cause an error and destroy the way of thy paths. Well, have we came this far? What about that berserk child that you see speaking or yelling, you know, that Parkland kid and yelling about gun rights and calling for boycotts? I mean, he looks like a berserker, you know what I mean? And what about women nowadays? So many of the women are kings in their household when they're supposed to be the queens of their household, and men seem worse than sheep. Well, I'm bringing on somebody to address these problems. In fact, I was talking to him last week before last, I think it was, and he suggested this would be a good program, and I said, good, if you want to come on and talk about it. So tonight we bring with us the man from the Frank Report, and of course that's Frank Stephan, and he is also the founder of American Voice Radio. He is also our producer. He's the guy behind the scenes that does all the dials and brings people on, puts music on, so on and so forth. That's what a producer does. It makes it easy for me. I just have to sit and talk into the mic. Anyway, so welcome now, Frank Stephan. Are you there, Frank?
I am, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. This one, we would have did this one had we not went further than, you know, what we did with hell. which I did get some comments on it, you know, about the whole program we did last week, or we did two of them last week, correct? Back to you.
Yeah, you did. And, I like everybody else, you know, I have my own opinions about what I think about things. And, I thought your first program on it was good. It was, kind of a rebuttal sort of thing. And, you know, it's a really good way, honestly, Dan, and I'm going to tell you this publicly, and, you know, people can comment on it if they'd like, but on the radio, it is so difficult to have an actual live debate because on the radio, people cannot over-talk each other, or what's going out is just not understandable to the listeners. You know,
right.
And to have a debate like that, like any kind of debate, you gotta have a moderator that really, you gotta have somebody who will just pull somebody's fader down. And,
right.
You know, you have to have such stringent rules like, okay, look, you got this many seconds to respond or minutes or whatever you give. But when that's done, you got to, like, say, that's it. Bang, your fader's down, and now it's the other one's turn. Because if you don't, it will digress into confusion. And that's what happens on the radio. Television is a little easier to do that because people don't realize how important it is to see somebody's mouth moving when they're talking. To be able to better understand what they're saying. When all you're getting is one, you know, whether you're trying to read their lips or whether you're just listening to them. Imagine that. Try to read somebody's lips. Now, you can, kind of, but you don't get everything. And it's the same way when you're listening to somebody, because we're built with eyes and ears. You know, even the Bible says, eyes to see and ears to hear. This is, you know, they go together. And, you know, radio is a bit unnatural that way, you know. And, so there's situations where it's very difficult. So what you did was really a good move, I think, when you have opposing views, you know, and you can have one person say, okay, look, you got a whole hour. Tell us what your position is, and then you get the opposing view and say, look, you got a whole hour. You tell us what your opposing view is, and you can just you can go back and forth like that as many times as necessary. And I think that's a much better debate format for radio. Now, you know, round tables are a different story. You know, round tables are where everybody's kind of – nobody's really debating anything. I mean, you might have disagreements, but they're also – they're more casual, and it's not that important that you get everybody's point. But my view of a debate is when, look, people have points. They thought it out. They thought it through. They've got their facts. They've got their evidence, and they want to present it. And that's both sides. And, you know, you've got to be able to give them a chance to do that in an understandable way, or else a debate is it digresses down to a round table, which is just all fun and games, and everybody gets to talk, and, you know, you get what you can out of it. You know, I think it was really good.
Let me throw something out about it real quickly, because I want to move on to our program.
Sure.
But, you know, for the folks, the way it came about wasn't, you know, set out and meant. I didn't know Pastor Carl was going to give his views really about, he said he's going to talk about the Pope and hell, and it ended up into him explaining his views. Great. Well, I hadn't planned on asking anybody to come in and debate it or anything, and then Steve Henderson volunteered, you know, which has also been a regular on our program for a while, that he disagreed with it, so I allowed him to do it. Well, you know, I didn't feel that, I still don't, I feel like it's unfinished. I'm going to bring it up to Carl, whether or not he wants to debate it or not, but I believe that there's a lot of things about it that's not been said. Having said that, you know, I don't know where it's going, but the talk about hell, and also it's not just about hell, it's about what comes next, you know, isn't over. And, you know what I'm saying, Frank?
Yeah, I do. I do. And like I say, I like the first program. I didn't get as much out of the second program last week as the first, but it's a really, I just think it's a good format to to get to really flesh out a subject of you know that people have legitimate disagreements about. You know that hey, I think it's this way, you think it's that way. We both got our evidence, right? So
right,
bring it on. Let's figure it out. You know, give people something to think about. And that's what I think is important, because this is something that is so lacking in our society today, is critical thinking. Everybody just expects, just tell me what's going on. Just tell me what to think about this. It's like, no, I'll tell you what's going on. You got to figure out what to think about it. And people are losing that ability or even desire to do that. You know,
well, I'll tell you what, listen, here's where they fell into, and this drives me insane, because, you know, it happens at the mission church, it happens everywhere. I'd be at my son's garage watching him put something together, you know, and they all use the same thing. Okay, Google, blah, blah, blah. And they take the first thing that pops up, and you know what, the first ads that usually come up on Google are promoted things, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But it's what Google wants to feed you. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the truth. Just because Google gave it to you in the top two comments, it may mean that's the top two things that everybody's reading, doesn't mean it's the truth. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, Dan. I mean, I use Google. I use other search engines too, but I use Google. And the thing about Google, I look for a lot of things that Google doesn't want to talk about, okay? And, you know, so I just learned that when I do that, when I know, okay, I'm looking for something that Google's not going to want to tell me, okay? So I know, okay, I put it in Google, I hit search, and then I go to page 4. That's where I start, because that's where anything relating to what I want to know about will be. It won't be in the first couple of pages. It's just not, they just won't do that. And the sad thing is most people, they don't think of that. For two, they're inherently lazy. And, you know, the internet's made us all inherently lazy. Look at what it is now. Well, Dan, when you used to have to know something, I mean, I don't know if you ever did, but I used to utilize this a lot, because the public library has something called the reference desk. You can call your public library and call the reference desk and ask them a question, and they will go look it up for you and tell you the answer.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, I got one on that. They're in Wichita, Kansas. You know, that's the library that I'd always call for many, many years. And there's this really old, and it just sounds like something out of a movie, but a really old ancient lady. And I don't know, she must have been 100 years by the time she years old by the time she finally was out of there, but she was at the reference desk. Because I'm a big library user. I'm not just a Google user. You know, I'm a book guy. I did research all my life. That's what I did. I know how to go to the library and look up what I want and look it up, you know, and find it. But, hey, I do that. That was my Google back then. I'd call the reference desk and say, hey, and give them a question, and they'd find the answer for you.
Yep.
And it was usually right.
Yeah, and you know, and if all else failed, you have to drag your own self down to the library and actually go look up some books and stuff. But now, you click, and there's your answer. You know, and you know, like anything else, you get lazy when things get easy. It's in all of our natures to do that, okay? When things are easy, you get lazy. I don't go to the library anymore. I haven't called the reference desk in 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is, because I don't have to.
Here, listen, it goes beyond lazy. You know, they really did a study about brains and how it interacts with your phone and pictures and everything. And people are forgetting, you know, you'll take a picture and you take picture after picture after picture. When you do that, your brain is actually understanding that it's like it's treating the phone as part of your brain. So it doesn't really retain the images and pictures that it normally would do, because it goes, okay, well, you use this other thing to do it. And so it really isn't recording those things. And so you can ask people don't remember as much as they should, or use their brain as much as they should, because they're allowing that phone to do it for them. And it's really, really dangerous. You know, sure. Folks, so if you really need to listen up. You need to be reading instead of just clicking. Go ahead, back
well,
to
you. Well, it's like putting it, you know, okay, so you break your leg, right? You put a cast on it, now you don't use that leg. It's immobile. Well, what happens after 6-7 weeks when you get to take that thing off? Well, your leg's all shriveled up. It ain't got the same muscles the other leg does. When you start walking around, your muscles get sore. You got to rehabilitate that thing because it has atrophied. And the same thing happens with anything you don't use.
Right.
You know.
And that goes for any part of your body.
You know, like
you
your brain.
And, yeah, absolutely. And so it goes away. And so you need to keep that skill, you need to retain that skill. If you walk, you know, they had a commercial on TV, you know, it was talking about how if you sit, you know, you wouldn't keep sitting. And I can't really remember, but it was encouraging you to move as much as possible, because if you quit moving, then you were going to quit moving. And, you know, that's basically the premise. So if you have a good skill and you want to retain it, don't get lazy, folks. And that's the problem with society right now. Especially it's going to get worse, don't you think, Frank, with all these machines and things and robots we're building? Back to you.
Oh, yeah. You know, and the public school system has already destroyed that ability in young children and young adults, because that's what school's all about. They do not teach critical thinking. They just sit there and say, well, you listen to me, I'll tell you how it is, and then we'll take a test to see if you remember what I told you what it is. And that's that. And that's what they consider learning. For crying out loud, they don't even, when they teach these children to read in school, they now teach them, and this is not just now, this is like, they've been doing this for over 10 years in the public school systems. So you can bet that it has reached your school district. They teach the children to read. Oh, yeah, don't bother. Don't waste all that time. When you come to a word, you don't know what it means. Don't stop and go look it up and find out what it means. No, 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 no. Just skip on over it and, you know, kind of guess what it means by, you know, all the words around it that you actually do understand. Well,
yeah.
Learning to read that way is a fraud, because you're not really learning to read. You're learning
right.
to be a parrot, okay? Repeat after me, Polly. Polly wants a cracker. Okay, Polly wants a cracker. Do you really think that bird understands that when it says Polly wants a cracker, Polly needs a cracker, whatever, that means feed me? I mean, they don't. They don't. They just say it, okay? So when you don't know what all the words mean, but you know how to say them when you see them, okay? So you sit there and you say them, you're reading, you're saying them all, right? And everybody thinks you can read.
Right.
But when you ask, well, what did that mean? You will catch some way, way, way. Put 10 kids in a room. Have them read the same thing, you'll get 10 different answers about what it means. And that isn't good.
Right.
That's
now,
confusion.
I will say,
and who is the author of confusion, Dan?
That's the devil. Satan, that old wily beast. Let me tell you, let me say this to that. You know, absolutely. You know, I've learned all the things that I've learned about the Bible, Frank. I came 99% from my King James Bible and a concordance. And, you know, I looked up, if I come to a word, you know, I look it up. I don't understand it. I look it up. And even and you'd be amazed, folks, at some of the things that you think a word means, especially in the Bible, because in one place it may mean one thing. In another place it means something entirely different. So, you know, you need to look it up. But having said that, now, it is also, though, a good skill to be able to read things and judge from what's around you. But you really need to learn how to be a reference person. And critical thinking, isn't that just right out of Orwell? Hey, don't listen to everything. Just don't look it up. Just listen to me. Isn't that Big Brother?
Oh, man. Yeah, it is. But I got an example out of the Bible. It's pretty good. Everybody's heard you know, the Lord will spew you out of his mouth, right?
Right.
Well, okay, I'm just going to ask you, what is that? Because I've done some, you know, what do they call that, exegesis, when you, you know, I actually went to school for this, you know, and it's like I learned these words, right? And what it means is a word study, basically. You just take a paragraph or verse in the Bible, and you just go look up every word, okay? Every word in it, and you look it up, you write it down, and you look at the literal, okay, here's what, it, you know, it comes out that way. And I did this with this, you know, the spew thing, because there were some questions, and I looked it up, and I did this, and found out that's something very interesting. Now, in a lot of the Bible versions, spew, and in our English language, is spelled S-P-E-W.
Right.
And when you look that up, it's basically spit, okay?
Right.
But in the King James Bible, it's spelled S-P-U-E, spew. When you look
right.
that word up, it means vomit.
Really, there's quite a difference.
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's the same kind of meaning. It's distasteful. But it's the level of distasteful. Now, you spit something out of your mouth. Okay, that's distasteful, right? It's like, ugh. You spit it
right.
out, right? But if you put something in your mouth and it makes you vomit, that is a bit more distasteful.
Oh, that's a whole lot more.
And, you know, and so we don't get, you know, these are the little tricks they've done in some of these new versions where, oh, yeah, it's the same meaning. Well, kind of, but it's not to the same degree. They are lessening God's displeasure. Is what they're
right.
really doing. And they're giving
oh, yeah.
people some false sense of security that he's going to spit it out. No, he's going to vomit it, and that's a lot
yeah.
different. So, you
yeah,
know, and that's
absolutely.
Just one little example.
Well, that little example is a great example, and I never really looked, and that's one word I never looked up. I just, you know, I figured that was just really detestable to the Father, considering all other things. Wait a minute here. Listen, we got our producer says we have to go to a break at 27 minutes after, and now we've got about 50 seconds. So, Frank, please tell us where your program's at.
Well, same place yours is, right here on American Voice Radio Network, okay? But it's
okay.
at 2 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday, and 8 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Thursday. So you got two shots. They're both live. Monday night, there's 2 hours at night, but that's pretty much it.
Well, folks, you come on over and listen to it. You'll hear Frank being frank about most everything, and he's got an opinion, and it's a great pleasure to listen to him. You also, while you're over there at ABR, check out some of the other programs. And listen, in the meantime, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on American Voice Radio Network. And anyway, I want to remind you of a couple of passages real quickly, and before we get back to our good radio program we're into. Deuteronomy 5:7-11 in the King James Version, of course, says, "If there be poor among you, a poor man, one of thy brethren within the gates of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut up thy hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need and what he wanteth. Beware that there not be a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, it's the seventh year, the year of release is at hand. Thy eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not. he crieth unto the Lord against thee, and it be a sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Because for that thing, that this thing, the Lord Yahweh shall bless thee in all thy works, and all that thou puttest thy hand to. For the poor shall never cease out of the land, and therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy head wide to thy brother, to the poor, and to the needy in the land. Now, you know, my wife and I were talking about some of these things in a program before, and so you should go back and listen to it. We had a really good talk about the end times and poor and different things. But really, my point is that the Father wants to bless you, but we are supposed to help each other. We're not supposed to let people get into the conditions that they are now, but clearly we're not in a Torah society. We're not in a back then. At one point, it just isn't where we're at. So we're supposed to try to help the poor. And that's why we at Messiah's Branch do what we do. We also, you'll find in the New Testament, it says in James chapter 2, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if a man say you have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man says, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe in trouble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And so within these two sets of words from the Bible, you can see that's why we do what we do. You know, how many of you people, a poor man, basically the second one's talking about, it's like, say you have a coat. A poor guy comes up to you and says, hey, man, I really need a coat. And you say, okay, brother. And you lay your hands on him and you pray for him and say, okay, be blessed and depart. Well, you've got an extra coat sitting there. Why do you have to ask God the Father to work on somebody's heart when he's already worked on you? The man came to you. The Father probably sent him to you. Hand him that coat. You know, all possessions belong to the Father. It doesn't belong to you. Do you understand that? You own nothing. You're caretakers of things that belong to the Father. You own nothing. And that's why, you know, at Messiah's Branch, you know, we spend down, I don't have, you know, I have what you'd call a personal income, but that personal income, it goes into the ministry. We spend all. We take care of our brothers. We spend to nothing. I don't want the Father to catch me not helping. This is where he put me. So pray about it. You know, we really do need your help at the Wichita Mission Church. And because we are who we are and we do radio programs like we do radio programs about all these controversial subjects, like we did all the things on hell, well, you know, we've destroyed some people's real beliefs in hell. We were told on both sides. Some of them are going, oh, I like that second program. I agree with him. The other one's, oh, I like Carl Gallup. Well, you know what? I presented both sides, and where does that leave me? And I know there's actually more to it than that. That's the problem with putting on that kind of radio, which I don't mind because I'm trying to please the Father and not you folks, seriously. It's not here for entertainment. That's why I don't call this a show. I call it a program. But so, you know, then, you know, the donations, you know, I go way down when I do these things. And it takes a time to get them back up. So it's a really hard ministry, you know. I'm not here to tickle your ears and tell you what you like. I'm here to try to tell you the truth. So pray about it. We really do need your help. And pray about supporting radio. Apparently you're listening to radio, so maybe you ought to think about a donation for that, because we don't sell anything. We don't sell anything. So pray about supporting radio. And remember, we minister to people in a part of town. Most people don't even like to drive through, period, day or night. But isn't that where the body of Messiah should be, is among sinners, just as Yeshua was? We really do need your help now to stay open. We need a grocery trip. We need to go buy some food and some vegetables, some meat and vegetables and things. And the bills are, I heard my wife tell me that she's still $800 short of paying the bills for the mission this month. So pray about it. Support. Well, all you say, well, if it was of God, you know, well, if it was of God the Father, have you read your Bible? You know, it is that things aren't easy just because you believe in Yeshua. It's about the next life and getting us ready for the next life. It's not about us being fine here. And I'm at peace with them. And so I do have the peace here with me. So just pray about it. Pray about it, supporting us. Anyway, we are the last hope for so many, and we are folks all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and I'm still behind in airtime for this month. I need another $50. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And let's remember this. I'm still here. I've been on radio with American Voice Radio since 2004. I'm still here. We will start our 19th year at the Wichita Mission Church in June. We are still there. And so if you want to use the thing, well, you'd be there if it was of the Father. Well, we've made it, and he's never let us down. But he uses people just like you to keep us here. Anyway, we've been talking about a lot of things, and we're going to bring Frank back on if he's still there with us. He's still with us, Frank.
Yeah, I'm still here, and I'll just tell people out there, please don't make me send Guido over to Dan's. Please help Dan. Don't make me send Guido. Guido's kind of lazy, and he doesn't want to go, and he'll be in a real bad mood if he has to. So, you know.
Yeah,
the thing is, though, now, I want you all to understand out there, when you give money to Dan to help these people, that's not Dan's blessing, okay? That's your blessing, all right? You understand that, and maybe you'll think a little different about it because, you know, yeah, Dan may be blessed by your donation, but that's not his blessing. That's your blessing when you give from your heart. And Dan read something there, and I don't know how many of you caught the one part. And now, Dan, go back and read that one part about the seven-year what?
Where, release.
Yeah. What that's telling you, folks, is, you know, because it used to be, this is not the case these days, but it's still applicable, that it used to be every 7 years, you know, if you borrowed money or something like that, every 7 years you got released from those obligations. Okay? There was no bankruptcy court. And there was no 15-year contracts either. It was 7 years. You had 7 years, and that's that. And if, you know, if you did it 4 years into it, now you had 4 years. You know, and that was the thing. And what that's saying is, look, don't give thinking or not give because, oh, man, I don't want to give because, you know, we're right in the seventh year and, you know, there's only a couple months left and the guy probably won't ever pay me back. And so I'm not giving him anything because I'll never get it back because, you know, in 2 months, you know, he's going to be released from that obligation. Forget it. Well, that scripture tells you don't do that. You see somebody needs something, it doesn't matter if they're going to pay you back or not. You're supposed to do it. That's charity, folks. And, yeah, you know, as I said before, I actually, you know, did it, you know, I went to school for this, and I actually did the, you know, the word study on SPEW. I also did an extensive Bible study on charity. And I came to the conclusion, and you can go look it up and come to your own conclusion, but I am absolutely convinced that charity is a very difficult thing for us to do, for any of us to do, because no matter what we do, we always expect something in return. And you may say, oh, no, not me. Oh, yeah, you do, because you're the one that walks away when you do something for somebody, huffy and puffy about, well, he didn't even say thank you. Boy, oh, boy, you know, that little dirty, lousy, rotten, homeless guy gave him a buck and he didn't even say thank you. Well, hey, guess what that thank you is? That's something in return. And if,
yeah.
And if you're all mad about you didn't get a thank you, then you didn't do charity, okay? Yeah, you dropped some money on the guy. That's great. It's not charity. Because charity is giving without expecting anything in return only because the one you gave it to needed it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what charity is. And if you go in the Bible and you look it up, I'm not making this up. God made it up.
Yeah, amen. You know, you're not supposed to give to get. You know, you're supposed to give because you're supposed to do things because it's the right thing to do. And, you know, people say, well, you're doing it because you're wanting to store up treasure in heaven. Yes, amen. But I'm not, I see a guy without, with a bad pair of shoes and his feet are hurting. I reach into my pocket and take the last of the father's money that I happen to have in my pocket at that point. I buy him a pair of shoes because his feet are hurting, not because I expect him to say thank you, but his feet are hurting. Actually, I know fully well that if I buy him a pair of shoes and he goes around people that don't know about us and say, hey, where'd you get the new shoes? He goes, oh, Pastor Dan got them. You know, and I don't want him to say Pastor Dan. Always some say, hey, it came from above. When they say thank you, I say, no, it came from thank him. Well, I know fully well that I got to brace myself because I'm going to get 10 more people walking in the door wanting a pair of shoes, you know. And I get it, but that's how it works around there, you know. And, you know, it's a really heartbreaking thing, the ministry we're in, when you don't have the money to get everybody something. So you got to look at the greatest need.
Sure.
But it's really heartbreaking. But we don't look at any of it. I don't want nothing. Here is the reason that I'm doing it. Let's go with this. I was an outlaw biker, and my wife was the worst, too. You know, we did a lot of bad things. We repented of those things. We came out of the world. He turned us into a new creation, and we are so thankful for getting saved and him forgiving us of those things so we don't have to drag them around with us all our lives. Then we're doing it because we're out of gratitude to the Father. I want to serve him, but the only way I know how to serve him is by serving others. I want nothing in return. I told the Father to give me a broom. I'll sweep up the kingdom of heaven. Back to you.
Well, yeah, and you know, but yet you're still a man, and I would bet that from time to time, it crosses your mind that you feel slighted. Somebody didn't do something in return for what you did for them. And, you know, it all crosses everybody's mind. I mean, the thing is, you just don't dwell on it and keep it like it's okay. You go, oh, it's like anything else you think about that's wrong. You know, you go, oh, geez, sorry. You know, I repent.
You know, a funny thing. Here's a funny thing. Now, generally, the mission churches have, it's God's place, the Father's place. It has nothing different about it. You know, those kind of thoughts rarely ever, not saying they don't enter my mind there, but if I do something someplace outside of it, in, you know what I'm saying,
yeah,
in the days that I'm not there, then I feel that a lot more. You understand what I'm saying?
And the other thing, too, Dan, is that you've been at this, you've been doing the mission how many years?
Well, we'll start our 19th year in June.
And the one thing about, you know, the old saying, and this isn't really the one that everybody's familiar with, but it is the correct one. Practice makes permanent. Okay? So you, 19 years ago, began going, well, I don't want anything in return. And you've been practicing that for 19 years, so of course you've gotten better at it. To where those thoughts don't come into your mind, okay, as often as they did. But that's the thing, folks. You know, it's like anything else. If you don't use it, you lose it. You gotta practice things, okay? And that's, look, we're all sinners, and we all have bad things cross our mind and everything else. The thing is to repent and, you know, move on and don't get all bogged down, because I've seen a lot of people, you know, they'll do something bad, they'll think something bad, or they'll have continuously, you know, thoughts about something that they shouldn't, and then they'll just, instead of, you know, sticking with it and practicing trying to not think about that, they just say, oh, then forget it, you know, and they go that direction and end up in trouble.
Here's something, and it goes right along with what you're saying, and this actually goes along with the first part of the program in this sense. You know, we are in an era, I think we're coming out of the era that, you know, you could see on TV, I mean, and all over, even go into the church, And the pastor would say, you give this money. And then they'd even go as far as say, you tell, when you give this, you tell the Lord what you want, name it and claim it. At prosperity gospel, and you get something in return and
yep.
claim it. And they're just, and so here's the point. You know, they're telling you that over and over. You sit in that church for 10 years and that's what is going to be embedded in your head. And so when you don't get those things, it drives you away from God because you say, well, you were supposed to give me this or that or make me rich because of this and that. And all you did was make that church rich. And they spent the money on building a tall building or a building, you know, without even giving maybe a little tiny bit to the poor, which the most of it's supposed to go to the poor. But the point is it's another form of brainwashing. And that's what America and per se the world is into, is brainwashing you. They tell you something over and over, like they tell you homosexuality and all that stuff is normal. No, it isn't. It's 7% of the society. What's the meaning of the word normal, Frank? Back to you.
Well, I guess normal would be what, you know, 51% of the people are doing.
Right. Is 7% 51% of the people?
I don't know. I went to public school.
Oh, well, if you went to public school now, that's what you call fuzzy math, you know. Something-based, quality-based education or
outcome-based. Yeah. By the way, that started in Oregon, sad to say. Yeah, we're the social, experimenting state over here. That's what they do up in Portland and Eugene and Salem. They come up with exciting ways to experiment psychologically on your children.
Yeah, because I had a lot of people that said, well, we're going to go live in Washington. It's a good state to get back to the nature and blah, blah, you know, and live on your own. But yet I see, all this liberal stuff going out there, and I keep thinking, man, Frank must not be over there getting into politics because they're just winning the state.
Well, they're not winning the state. They're winning 7 counties, okay? That's what's going on in this state. We have 7 counties out of 39 that control this whole state. If you go look at a county map of Oregon, this is a red state, except for 7 counties. Around Portland, Eugene, Salem, and Corvallis. Those areas there are full of communists. That's because they're university towns. They got 2 universities. They got actually 3 or 4 universities up there. They've got the government seat up there, and it is communistic to the core. And they're just like the communists on the national level. They cheat in elections. Look, we found 3,000 ballots all for our guy behind the desk here. Oh, wow, they won. You know, they've done that. That's how they got the criminal Kitzhaber in there for the second time. Oh, he had to leave, though, because his concubine broke the law with him. And now he's still not in jail because the communist lesbian governor we have now, Kate Brown, she's not prosecuting him.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just like, hey, the ABC poll, a poll, and it was done by a Democratic something network, and it was shocking because it said that, you know, it actually Trump's plan to arrest more immigrants, kick more out, so on and so forth. There's more people in California that are for that than against it. Now, that, to me, is pretty shocking.
Yeah. Well, hey, they're the one. You know, if anybody be against it, it ought to be them. They're the ones that get to live the nightmare that, you know, the rest of the country's looking forward to. They're already doing it. You know, so, yeah, they ought to be against it. But, you know, that's the thing. They like Oregon, you know, the conservative counties, which are the majority, which is not right because, you know, look, we're supposed to be a Republican form of government, okay? And what that means is really in our house in Oregon, yeah, they should be there by the population, and by that there would be more communists than there would conservatives because they own the population centers, as they do everywhere in the country, because cities are not what they used to be. Look, cities started. They weren't there always. Cities were built, and they were built because somebody decided, usually near a port, that, hey, we're going to build a factory, and we're going to make something. And people would go, wow, there's a factory over there. They got jobs over there. Let's go over there. So they would go over there, and they'd need a place to live. So they built places to live. Then they need places to shop. Well, then they built those. And next thing you know, you got a city, right?
Right.
That's how they started, because that's where the jobs were. But now the cities, there's no more jobs in the cities. Just like, you know, Main Street's died because of the, you know, they say the mall, right? Well,
right.
It's not really the mall. It's just all, everything's outside. They got these huge big box stores that you can't have downtown in the middle of a town usually. And they are, you know, that's where everybody wants to go now. So downtown has died. The city has become a parasitical entity where nothing but people without any hope or jobs or hope of a job go. Okay? So what are you going to do? Well, you can't just let them all die, so they give them welfare. Okay, now they become dependent on welfare, and you've got a slave society living in the cities. Who are they going to vote for? They're going to vote for the guy saying, hey, we need to make America great, put everybody back to work, and get everybody... Or are you going to vote for the guy that says, you know what, you need more welfare money. You need your food stamp increased. You need a better place to live for free. Well, you're going to vote for that guy because that's how you've lived. That's what you know. You're nothing but a slave, okay? And this is who they – this is the Democratic Party's voting base.
Yeah, you know what? That was a – what was his name that was running against Obama? He said that. They caught him off mic saying – how am I supposed to go up against 51% or something like that of the people that are all getting free ride? You know?
Yeah.
And, and it's the truth. It is very hard to believe. That's why, you know, I think, I point to the miraculous that Trump, with all of their illegal tactics and illegal voters and everything, and there was a huge bunch of people that voted that must not have normally voted. Because I don't see how else Trump could have got in, you know.
Well,
what I'm
and there
saying?
Were people that voted for Trump that they never expected would. Okay,
right.
They expected these people would, you know. And there's a lot of people that just usually don't vote that did, and then there's a bunch of people that they figured would vote for Hillary based on their past and stuff. But you know, they've had enough too. Nobody
right.
but the most hardcore communist. Globalist supports the Democratic Party anymore. They
right.
might still say, I'm a Democrat and I'm for the working man and all that. And okay, well, in your heart, maybe you are. And that's why you figure I can't be a Republican because they hate the working man, even though they seem to be the ones always creating jobs. But, you know,
right.
hey, you know, that's neither here nor there. They were told Republicans love big business, which they do. But the Democrats love big business, too. They just don't like. See, the Republicans love getting all their money from the big business, too. But in return, they tell big business, look, you got to create some jobs, right?
Right.
Well, we'll take your money and we'll give you favorable regulations. We'll be on your side, but you got to do something for us, too. The Democrats, on the other hand, they love big business, but they don't care. They're like, no, you just give me a pile of money and I'll do what you want. You know, and no jobs are required.
Right. No jobs required. Yeah.
You know,
well,
so
they
what's
don't,
the deal?
But, well, wait a minute. That's because they don't want jobs, because then if they put people back to work, that's what bugs the Democrats. If they put people back to work, then they don't have their, is likely to get their vote because they're not dependent on them giving them all the free stuff.
No, and plus, once you get a job, you start realizing that, hey, this government is robbing me. Instead
right.
of, oh, this government's my sugar daddy. Okay? There's a big difference between having a job and being on welfare, and that's the biggest difference. You realize the government is just robbing you left and right every time you turn around. You're working hard for your money, and they're stealing it from you is what it comes down to. And when you get a job, you start realizing that, and that is not good for the Democratic Party, and it's not good for communism, because that's what communism is all based on. Stealing from the productive and giving to the unproductive who support the parasites in government.
Amen. And Frank, we'll leave it at that. And we're,
hey, I got a question for you, Dan, though. I got a question here, not from me, from somebody else. When you said ask Google, now, were you talking about them like going on the computer and going to Google, or do they have some sort of device like that Amazon Echo thing with ask Google on it?
Well, I think they got one covered, but I'm talking about like on my cell phone, got a microphone, and you go Google, and Google will tell you what you want to know.
Well,
I got to go. I'm out of time.
All right. Just be careful with those.
We'll see you, Frank. Come over and look at the Frank Report. We got to go. Anyway, remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after, 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's very important. That's the only sign given. And through him, the one 3 days and 3 nights is the only way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting radio and the Wichita Mission Church. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.